Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Alamosa County Commissioner Lori Lasky. She's joined by Alex McDonald. We're going to learn a lot about Alex today. She's the coordinator for Region 18 Opioid Settlement Governance Council. That's really, Commissioner Lasky, the opioid settlement has really been your body of work, your life work since you became a county commissioner.
It is one of the areas that we worked in. Early on in my career, we were up in Denver, and the Attorney General was talking about some of these settlements. And Alamosa County was originally one of the initial entities that were filing for this. Just to get some context to it, in the San Luis Valley between 2006 and 2012, 9.4 million oxycodone and hydrocodone pills were put out. That was 88 pills per person.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when you and I first started talking about this problem. Mm-hmm. And let me introduce Alex before you and I keep talking, though, because Alex has lived experience. Alex is bringing a lot to the table here as the coordinator for Region 18. What covers Region 18, Alex? Tell us that, and then tell us a little bit about your work with the Governance Council.
So the Region 18 is made up of Alamosa County, Rio Grande County, Conejos County, Costilla, and Sawatch County and Mineral County. And I kind of came into this with, met Lori and shared my, you know, story with lived experience, and, was able to put in an application and, got the job. And so I've been able to really use my past experience with addiction and, recovery to help my community. And that's been something that has just been so meaningful to me in my recovery. Experiencing the opioid pandemic firsthand, and then being able to turn that around and help my community. I originally, you know, was prescribed opioids, and that's where my addiction kind of started, with opioids, and spiraled, you know, from there into heroin and also methamphetamine. And, you know,
and your background really was key for you to gain the work that you're doing now with Region 18 Opioid Settlement. I want to go back to Commissioner Lasky, because I want to just kind of set the table here again, because it's been a few years, and you and I've talked several times about the opioid problem. But I want to read the stats again that you did about the number of pills, because Owen and I back then, we were shocked at those figures of the penetration, the number of pills that were being distributed in the San Luis Valley a few years back. Give us those numbers just one more time.
It was 9.4 million in a six-year space there, and that would have been 88 pills per person yearly. Another statistic that really hit home to me was in 2021, the Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus, they did a report, and they indicated the overdose death rate at 62.3 for 100,000 people in Alamosa County. Statewide was only 21.5. Yeah. So we are almost three times the state level. And that was for Alamosa County, but the region is a whole.
Just really shocking, though, that data, and it speaks to the intentionality we saw of pharmacy, big pharmacy, pushing pills. The Valley, Alamosa, unfortunately, became ground zero for the number of pills per person, Alex, that were coming in here. And you lived that experience, and you battled it, and you rose above it.
Yeah.
And now you're coordinating activities for the Region 18 opioids. What does that mean to you? That's got to be an awesome, I can't even imagine what you've gone through, and then now to come out the other side. And here you are sitting with the county commissioner.
It's been really awesome. I never thought in a million years that I, when I was in my active addiction, that I would be where I am now. You know, sitting next to a county commissioner and, you know, overcoming the things that I have and building my life back up. But some of the things I'm really proud of with the work that we do is being able to help individuals find their way to recovery. And, you know, we have some focus areas that we, you know, that we focus on, which is recovery housing, and peer support professionals. We have, subcommittees for those. And then we also have a prevention committee. We are working on developing a committee for, supports for justice involved individuals. And then also a committee for gap funding, for individuals that are, for example, they're in treatment and let's say their insurance doesn't cover their full stay and they need to stay longer. You know, there's funds available for that. If they need any materials while they're in rehab, like study materials or books or workbooks or anything like that. But it's been one of the things that I treasure most is the recovery housing, being able to see how, our settlement funds have helped individuals so far with the money that we've used to help people with recovery housing. Well, let me go back. So what we do is we offer 100%, we pay for 100% of their rent for the first 3 months of their stay, then 50% of their rent for the next 3 months, and then 25% of their rent for the last 3 months.
And all that's because of the dollars that are coming into Region 18 through the state of Colorado settlement.
Yes. There's approved uses for those funds. They have to be obviously justified with opioid use. So the individuals we help have to have, you know, a diagnosed opioid use disorder, and they have to be staying in a recovery house that's either an Oxford house or a CAR certified house. And so we're able to offer them assistance. And so in this time since we've had this program, we've helped and served 24 individuals. We just recently have helped our first female. We've offered help not just in Alamosa. Some people find that when they're trying to get sober, they just can't do it in the area that they're at and they need to get, you know, out of the valley. So we've been able to help them in houses in Pueblo, Colorado Springs, and Denver. And of those people, for sure, we know that 18 of those individuals of the 24 that we've helped have successfully transitioned into stable housing. And so that to me is just an achievement and an awesome thing.
Yeah, you know, just listening to you. And again, we just met, hearing your story of how you overcame, but then now you're helping others.
Yeah.
But what I just find heartening, surprising, is that the work, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought the opioid settlement and the opioid crisis, I didn't know that there was a lot of hope of how do you turn this around? But now, 3 years later, thanks to your work, Commissioner, and your persistency on this topic, we're seeing things turn around for people like Alex McDonald and others. And that to me is a life saved. I mean, I don't know, Alex, how you feel again. But it just feels like these are life saving settlement funds or life saving things you're doing here, Commissioner, for people like her. And then now her, Alex, helping all the others. That's just I don't know. I just find it lovely.
So, Chris, when I came in, we had 24 deaths in Alamosa County from overdose use the first 2 years, and 21 and 22. Last year, we only had 4. So that's a statistic that shows what we're doing is starting to, it's creating stigma. We can't make people get help, but we can provide assistance when they're ready to. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But that doesn't compare to anything when I see people like Alex and our peers. We've assisted 8 to 9 people that are now working in the industry that come from lived experience. Seeing their successes, that's what matters. We have saved lives, but we're also helping people have better lives too.
Yeah, and then and Alex, just pick it up from there and keep talking about the work you're doing and the people you're helping. I mean, and you don't have to talk about them, but it's just find it really nice that that it's working.
It is, and I think that you know, from my experience coming from, there was a point in the valley where I remember needing to go to rehab and not having, trying to find resources in our area. And, you know, my family, my mom really trying to help me just get better. And I had to go to Pueblo. You always had to go somewhere else, you know, Pueblo. You know, we had one doctor I remember that was doing Suboxone. And since then, I mean, it's changed tremendously. We have peer support professionals that have the lived experience, which is really powerful. You know, somebody can tell you to get sober. It can come from a doctor or a rehab, but being able to see somebody firsthand succeed themselves and make it out on the other side and hear their story and, you know, see where they once were and where they are now is a very powerful thing. And you can actually relate to the individuals that are still struggling. I think that is one of the most powerful things that we've got going on here and everywhere with the peer support professionals. And
what's really cool too is about the work that you're doing, the work that Region 18 Opioid Settlement Governance Council, that's a mouthful, is doing, is you're becoming also a model for other counties in the state, other regions in Colorado and elsewhere, Commissioner. The work that Alex is doing, the process, putting that council together and then bringing in people like Alex who have the lived experience to then go change lives of others. That whole model seems to be taken off, or one that people want to study, Commissioner.
Yes. We get lots of accolades at the state level about what we're doing. And this gives me a chance to, I really want to emphasize the work that we're doing also is reliant on our partners. We have amazing partners here in the San Luis Valley. And of course, we couldn't do this work without them. So the council coming together is really just, it's reducing the stigma, but it's also bringing a synergy to all of the things that our partners were doing originally. Yep. It's bringing them together. We've had some great things. We've had recovery housing open up now. We both have recovery housing for men and women. And to go back, these are support model housing. It's not just rent that we're assisting with. There's support in each of these houses.
I just want to pick that up, because that's interesting in terms of, I guess it's a placement in a setting like that. Explain that, or talk a little bit about that housing setting or how you're doing that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we, on our end, on the council's end, we obviously offer the services to help with their rent. And so speaking firsthand, when you are in addiction, everybody's different. Everybody's journey is different. But a lot of the times, you know, your life has just become unmanageable. Small tasks that normal people might be able to achieve and do, people can't understand why you can't do that. Like, there's days where getting up and making your bed is a success story, man, because you haven't done that for so long. And so I think sober living, recovery housing is extremely important, because it allows an individual to have a safe space to build themselves back up. And with our rent assistance, they're able to not have to worry about rent or living or being homeless or any of that. They have a stable house where there's other people like them living in that environment. They support one another. You know, they have groups. They're learning life skills, and it's really important. They have, you know, that safe environment. I know one of the sober living facilities has a cook that comes in and helps the guys cook. and learn how to do that. You know, they have their groups every weekend, and you learn how to build a new group of friends as well. That's one of the hardest things with addiction is you feel so lonely, and the drugs kind of fill that void of the loneliness. And when you're trying to get sober, you know, it's hard to get away from the people that you once used with. And so, and to learn how to make, you know, real stable relationships and, you know, not so dysfunctional friendships, you know, where you support one another instead of, you know, feeding an addiction with one another.
You know, I kind of wish on this one, Owen, the audience was watching this. And some we do live stream, some we just do audio. This one we're just doing audio. We're not live streaming. But it would have been nice to live this one because as you're talking, Alex, the commissioner just, you just have this pride in her. You can see it, Lori, that you can see how proud you are of this one, of what she's doing. I mean, that's just coming across just watching you.
I am incredibly proud. In fact, it's making me tear up because Alex is a perfect representation of what success looks like. And I am proud. You know, she shared with me her stories and the things that she has overcome. And that gives me the feeling that this can happen. We can do this. And yes, thank you for saying that. But yes, I'm incredibly proud of this person.
Yeah, you can see that. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
It's been a tough year for many folks in Monta Vista. As the holidays approach, a lot of us are feeling tired or anxious. But good things are still happening all around us. This year alone, the Lohr Foundation has partnered with your friends and neighbors to bring more than 75 community-driven projects to life, making things a little brighter here at home. Lohr funds ideas designed and led by Monta Vista locals of all ages, no nonprofit experience required. Whether it's helping neighbors save time or money, supporting families, or creating something that brings people together, your ideas can make a real impact. All it takes to get started is a simple conversation. And once your idea is approved, most projects receive funding within 30 days. So let's close out the year stronger together. Visit lohrfoundation.org or email yvette@lohrfoundation.org to learn more.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Alamosa County Commissioner Lori Lasky. We're talking to Alex McDonald. We're talking about opioid settlements, the Region 18 Opioid Settlement Governance Council. That was created back in 2022. When was the council created, Commissioner?
We got our first funding in 2022. We had years of work trying to establish the council and working and waiting for those settlements to come. But it's been a couple years now.
So Alex coordinates the activities for the Governance Council, and I want to ask, if someone wants to get involved, someone has an addiction, someone is hearing this or just wants to get, how would they do that? How do they get to where you are?
I think that one of the biggest things is obviously, you know, the want to, you know, get better. And I think it's important to know too that, you know, I've been to rehab 5 times, and I've gotten something out of each visit that I've been. It took that many times for me to get where I am now and to be successful. So, I mean, it's a lot, you know, of trial and error, but you know, some people go to rehab, some people do it on their own through, you know, meetings or however, but if somebody, like, let's say for, you know, sober living and wanting to, you would go, you would get the help, get involved in a program, or just go to the sober living in general. You can do that and let them know, hey, you know, I'm struggling. I need stable housing. I have an issue with substance use. And from there, I believe you would need to be sober to get in. So a lot of the times they'll send you to, you'll go to detox and you'll detox, and then you can get into the whatever sober living facility it is.
How does the council, the Region 18 Opioid Settlement Governance Council, help your work, Alex? How do you find the individuals you're helping? How do you make that connection that way?
So we really, through our partners, through, you know, the people out there doing the work, some of the peer support professionals, you know, anybody doing the work, that's normally how we get it. So we get them referred to us. We have somebody call us up and say, you know, we have an individual, they need assistance with housing. We found a sober living facility that they want to stay at. And so from there, I work with the individual or the facility that they're going to stay at, and I get the paperwork needed. So we need documentation showing that they have an opioid use disorder. It has to be a diagnosed opioid use disorder, and proof of that, they have to be a San Luis Valley resident for at least 1 year, and that's excluding incarceration or treatment or a treatment stay. So they have to prove those things, and then also that they're involved in ongoing recovery supports. And a lot of the sober living facilities offer those ongoing recovery supports. So from there, then, you know, I make sure they meet the criteria. As long as we have funds available, they get approved and we do our, you know.
Do you have certain partners with the council that helps you see who's coming forward or who needs support when it comes to these services, or how does that connections work?
A lot of our council members, you know, will let us know of any of the needs, or, you know, not that long ago, we sent out a survey to see what our partners felt like were gaps in, you know, in our community. And from there, we decided on, you know, we were going to vote on what to move forward with, what were the top priorities. And that's how we established our two new subcommittees. But it's all based off a lot of the recommendation from our council. And so our council is made up of voting members and non-voting members. A lot of the non-voting members are more of the experts in the fields, like our peer support professionals, the nurses that are doing the work, doctors, you know, people like that. And then our voting members are more elected officials, stuff like that. Now, we do, with our council, we value both the votes from our voting members and non-voting members. We do feel like a lot of the expert material is from our non-voting members anyways. So
yeah,
we really kind of go based off of what our council members are saying that they're seeing needs for.
There's a lot of wins in here. Since you've been, again, working on this, Commissioner, there's a lot of wins that we've seen, to the point where you're seeing a reduction in the number of deaths annually. That's a statistic you've put out. I've heard that statistic from the Colorado Attorney General as well about the reduction there. You're seeing dollars flowing in to help this through the lawsuit, through the settlement. We're seeing that. You're seeing recovery efforts like Alex here. A lot of wins, right? But yet, you got to keep the work, right? You got to keep, because the problem is not solved, is it?
No, I think that there's always going to be drug problems, but we can still make efforts in helping the individuals, as Lori mentioned before, that want and need the help, that are seeking it. You can't, you know, they have to want it, obviously. But I think for us, just continuing to be successful looks like continuously looking into our community and seeing, are there new needs? You know, what is going on now? We've offered support in this recovery housing. How can we grow and improve on that? You know, different things like that. So, I mean, we only had one sober living facility in our area, which was SLV Recovery. They're now known as Aspen Haven Foundation, and now Advantage Treatment Centers has opened our first women's sober living facility. So it just, things are always going to continue to grow and change, just like the drug problem has grown and changed, right, and evolved. When I was actively using, it was mainly heroin that I seen and meth, and now it's fentanyl. Mm. And you know, there's fentanyl in all of the drugs is what I'm hearing, is even if you were to do meth, you could overdose on fentanyl because it's in everything. So I think everything just continues to evolve and change, and we just have to continue to evolve and change with that.
And how do you stay up on this, Commissioner Lasky? How do you stay plugged in? Because you've been very plugged in and making a lot happen. But I know there's always things on your plate, and I wonder where this is on your priority scale now that you have momentum. And I don't know, how are things in this world, would you say? Opioids, fentanyl, we've heard this. Where you're at?
Well, it's kind of a scary field. And so let me go back. I became involved in this area and had to learn a lot about this area because it was a need of our constituents. That's where it came forward. I never said, oh, this is what I want to work in. I'm a business major.
You just listened to what you were hearing.
I listened to what I was hearing, and that's going to continue. We're finding out now the fentanyl is becoming more and more powerful. Mm-hmm. There's even new variations of it that there's a carafentanil, I think. I might have not said that correctly. That is so incredibly, a few grains can actually be lethal. And so that's always a changing, it's changing constantly. I stay connected at the state level. I try to keep up on it. I'm on a number of listservs and just trying to be aware and seeing how does it affect our area. That's my most important thing, yeah. Is how it's affecting us and how we can continually make improvements on our limited resources.
Yeah,
I think it's also important too to go back and ask the people that have the lived experience. That's like one of the major pieces too, is asking community, hearing what they have to say. But people, you know, that are still actively using, I think that's something that would be beneficial for us to continue asking them. I have lived experience, but it's been a long time since I used. It's been 4 years. So things have changed since then. So just getting that perspective, getting the word out there, you know. I also, I attend group, you know, myself. I actually just got done with group before I came here. And that's one of the things I enjoy too, is listening to the people there and what their struggles are and what they're going through. And, you know, a lot of them hear my story when I open up and talk about my past, and they look at me like, wow, really? You were there? These are the things that you went through, and now you work alongside a county commissioner? Like,
yeah.
That's something that is so amazing. And one of the things that I've been talking about and looking at doing is going into our sober living facilities and sharing my story, because I think that's inspiring to people.
It is. It's inspiring sitting here listening to you, hearing all of this. I want to ask one more question, and really appreciate you coming in, sharing all this, giving us updates on the Region 18 Council. But there's still a question, I don't know what the answer is, and that is, why are we here in Alamosa in the San Luis Valley? Why are we so vulnerable to opioids, fentanyl, heroin, addictions? Why, Alex, do you think this area is so vulnerable to this?
I think one of the main things is that we're a very rural area. You know, a lot of times what I hear from individuals, we don't have a lot to do. You know, I've heard that, and I've been one of the people that has said that through my active addiction, is there's not a whole lot that we can do here. We get bored, you know, and when you get bored, you find something to do. So I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, in our area we struggle, is because we're so rural and we have limited resources, which we've been building upon. I'm so proud that we have as many resources here as we do now. But I think that's one of the main reasons, is because of that. And
and you hear that from mm-hmm. Alex on board. You've heard that, right? Your whole life. And you're a county commissioner, and you hear that from people, right? There's nothing to do here, when in reality there's a lot to do here, right?
Yep.
As you figure that out, right? You figure that out. But it's interesting to hear that.
Yep.
That could be as easy, something as simple as I'm bored.
Yep.
Or there's nothing to do here, and so I'm going to find my joy in pills or whatever that is.
Right.
That's just really interesting to me.
And there's a couple other elements you will hear over and over. The opposite of addiction is connection.
Yep.
So making those connections. And unfortunately, in the San Luis Valley, we are in kind of a corridor that there's a lot of access to
coming
drugs.
In.
Yep.
So you go back, and historically, I did some research on this. I'm like, why were the opioids so significant in the San Luis Valley? A lot of times it starts because we're an active area. People were prescribed opioids for, back pain and injuries that happen on the farm or out doing events, skiing, activities like that. And then that was perpetuated up to where it became a problem. So when I kind of look at it, I look at we're in an area where there is drugs available, unfortunately, something we're trying to reduce. But there's also a demand. So when you take a demand and a supply, then we're where we're at. And not sure how to fix it, but we're going to keep taking steps forward, and we are making improvements.
One of the things that I think that we've done that's really cool is when I first started doing this work, we were talking and about this whole board thing and connection and all of that. And so we have done one sober friendly event. We did a sober bingo night. Actually we have done two. The first one was in La Jara. We just all got together at the Knights of Columbus and brought board games and played cards. And that was our first event. We didn't have that many people. I think maybe we had maybe 9 people that showed up. But then from there at our sober bingo night, we learned from that first experience. We got the word out there. We had it at the Elks Lodge here in Alamosa, and it was an awesome turnout. And Hope in the Valley brought their clients from there to come and have fun. And I think I can't remember if Advantage Treatment Center brought individuals as well, but we had a very good turnout that night. And I think we need to develop a recovery community in our area. We need to start developing that, teaching individuals new ways to have fun. You can all get together and play bingo together. You can, go skiing. Like you said, there's a lot of things to do in our area, but building that connection and developing a recovery community is, I think, a big starting point for our area to succeed.
Well, it sounds to me like we've started that thanks to the work you're doing, Alex. And I can't say enough about Commissioner Lasky and your persistency on this issue and just all the progress you've made. I'm very proud of you as a county commissioner and as a resident of Alamosa in the Valley. I'm proud that you're the commissioner doing the work you're doing here, and what we're seeing for progress, just amazing. Thank you, Alex, for coming in and sharing your story.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to both of you. Hey, you've been listening to The Valley Pod and our episode with Lori Lasky and Alex McDonald. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.